So we had to get the author of Why Smart People Make Big Money Mistakes and How to Correct Them in here to talk about this next story. Gary Belsky, good morning.
Good morning. I have a chant, by the way.
Yes?
My chant would be the lyrics to Anything Goes, which is Cole Porter's song from the 1930s, because
nice.
Whenever people get upset about how the world's going to hell in a handbasket, I always like to read them the lyrics of that song, because it basically sort of says, it tells you that everything that everybody thinks is new and awful has happened before.
And, of course, that was a song during the Depression, right?
Exactly.
Yes, that's great. That's actually a great suggestion. So
I
want to
write a book about that.
Help me with this. Well, maybe an editor will call. An editor for Gary Belsky, call 877-8-MY-TAKE or MY-TAKE.
My agent's going to love
yeah,
this.
There you go. So, all right, help me out with this.
Yes,
in the middle of a financial crisis, right, the worst since Anything Goes was written. You know, that's what they say.
Right.
Yep.
Banks being bailed out, billions and billions of dollars from the TARP, from the Federal Treasury, right?
Yes.
So what did they hit us with this year? A record $38.5 billion in customer overdraft fees. That's just the beginning, okay?
It's outrageous.
As federal regulations begin where the credit card companies are going to be regulated in the way that they can increase interest rates or cancel you or change the terms of your agreement, all of a sudden credit card companies are going on a rampage, raising interest rates unilaterally. Celeste, you've even had this
experience. I got a letter from American Express saying times are tough, we're suffering, and so we're raising your interest rate.
All right. So my question for you,
Celeste,
Gary Belsky,
is a credit risk.
Yeah. There we go. So who are the smart people here? The people who are getting shafted, or the credit card companies and the banks who are able to raise these rates in advance of the federal regulation
and make them adjustable? They're making some of these adjustable.
Okay. There's a lot of questions there. I have an Uber answer, but first I'll sort of make the observation that it's amazing to me that people are shocked that credit card companies and banks who are actually in financial trouble are trying to figure out ways to make more money. They're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is going to their customers and trying to sort of raise their fees. I'm not defending by any means the American banking establishment. All I'm saying is it shouldn't be a shock to people that these companies that are actually fundamentally have difficulties in raising capital and paying off their bills.
But some of them are raising their interest rate by 10%. That seems excessive.
They are, and it is excessive. But by the way, people have lots of options in terms of actually figuring out ways so that they don't have to pay those kinds of usurious fees. They
All
are
right,
doing
well, let's,
it.
Let's talk about the options on the fees first, and then we'll shift to the interest rates.
Well, on the fees, as with almost the interest rates too, it's the same thing, which is fundamentally there's different answers for different people. If you have really good credit, you have all sorts of options, which is that basically you can negotiate and you can find other card issuers, et cetera. And if you don't have good credit ratings, you can at the very least opt out of the new fees which essentially lets you call up the credit card company and say, I don't want to pay higher interest rates, but so I'll stop using this card and I'll just continue on this rate until I pay off the card. That's not the greatest thing in the world for people, but it fundamentally allows you to prevent yourself from paying the extra interest rates that they're tacking on to people. So everybody needs to call up the number on the back of their card and start negotiating. And here's the thing that people don't realize, because most people don't do it, which is that if you take the time to call up and talk to your card issuer, the people on the opposite end of the phone actually have a fair amount of leverage and ability to sort of negotiate with you if you sound smart.
Let me push back on you here. Paul
yes, sir.
Wrote to us on Facebook, okay, on okay. the Facebook page for the takeaway. My rate was originally fixed at 4.99% through Pulaski Bank. Then it was bought out and fixed at 6.99%. Today it went to an adjustable rate of 8.99%. I called the card company, but there's nothing they'll do. You'd think they'd be willing to work with good customers, but that isn't the case. I'm unwilling to work with them.
Yeah, well, oftentimes, first of all, the first call, I'm not saying this is easy, but the first call you get that, which is that if they're trained in the script that they get to sort of say, no, we can't do anything for you. And if you hang up, then you're not going to get anything. But if you tell them, for example, I'm going to switch my balances or I'm going to go to another card. And if you have a good credit rating, they do not want to lose you. So they will negotiate with you. I've been covering personal finance for 20 years, and that's always been the case. God, am I old.
But, I mean, isn't that another way of saying, you know, be persistent with thieves, and they'll stop ripping you off. I mean,
yeah,
shouldn't this
well,
just be illegal up front?
Well, there is a new credit card reform act coming down the pike that's going to make a lot of this illegal. And, in fact, the opt-out provision is something that's a part of the credit card reform that Congress is hoping is going to enact. But, yeah, but that's the push-pull of a capitalist society. It's like, you know, we don't want to turn this into a sort of a populist ranting show, right? I mean, fundamentally, the card company.
Yeah, we do. Haven't you heard?
fundamentally, the card companies are going to always try to push the limits because they're basically in the business of making money. And like anything else, by the way, those card companies are owned by publicly held companies whose shares are owned by 50 million Americans who have their money in 401k accounts. It's not like the money is necessarily going into the pockets of seven people at Goldman Sachs, which is what I think people tend to think when this happens.
It's three people at Goldman Sachs. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it does seem a bit like consumers are trapped. I read an article where some people said, I just went ahead and canceled those credit cards, closed those accounts, but then it hurt
their credit
rating.
Scores, right. Yeah, although there's a little bit of credit credit score paranoia that goes on in this country, which is like the credit card industry is so focused on making sure that people are fearful of doing the things that will lower their credit score because they actually don't want to lose that money. People don't need to be nearly as fearful of their credit score as you would have them believe if you read all the sort of literature.
But let's talk about the business model for the banks. I mean, in a sense, if the business model for banks is collecting fees,
yeah,
all right, then the incentive is for people to have bad credit scores because they can collect more and more fees. But if the business model for banks is actually collecting interest rates on good creditworthy borrowers, then they want the credit scores to be low. If you're collecting $38 billion on fees and, you know, countless other billions on high interest rates, it seems to me the banks are getting it either way. Why don't they just focus on the lending part and just get rid of the fees?
Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, in general, remember that defaults are going up hugely. A lot of some of the biggest rate hikes for card companies have come in foreclosure states, foreclosures
are
higher.
If I default, I'll pay the fee.
Exactly.
But why do I have to pay a fee just because they noticed I was not as great as like my neighbor in terms of credit rating?
Well, again, I mean, you're acting surprised that in a capitalist economy, the companies that are sort of in the business to make money are looking for every opportunity to do so.
This is the Glenn Beck moment.
So hold my hand here.
I don't think I'm surprised.
It just
seems wrong. It seems wrong that when I'm not late on a payment, that American Express can write me a letter and say, times are tough for American Express.
Default is one situation.
Yeah,
this is the other.
I'm going to raise your rate.
Well, remember though, the government has made it so that they can do that, but they have to let them raise the rate, which they give you the option to do.
If I close that account down to any
if
new
you
charges.
Shut the account off and don't spend any more. I mean, they're trying again to sort of balance out the credit card companies are nervous because they're no longer allowed to sort of go after the worst customers and really jack their fees up. So they're actually trying to spread this out over a larger customer base. And you're not obligated to keep a revolving balance. You're not obligated to put money on your credit card. And remember, the majority of Americans still have savings even as they have credit card rates.
And they're saving
credit
at higher
card balances.
Rates.
Right.
They're saving at higher rates.
Exactly. So generally, the average American is basically saving money and earning about, this is what the really smart people do. The average American has, not everybody, not the people that are laid off, obviously, but the average American has several thousands of dollars in quote-unquote emergency savings that's earning at the most 1 or 2% interest, and they are carrying balances on credit cards that's often being charged at this point 10 or 15%. That's what the average rate
spread.
Is. 15, that's a very nice
spread.
And there's no reason not to pay off your credit card debt with your emergency savings because you can always use your credit card in an emergency.
Well, why smart people make big money mistakes and how to correct them? Listen to a smart person. Gary Belsky is the author of that book, Why Smart People Make Big Money Mistakes. He's also the editor of ESPN, the magazine. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
So this whole morning we're talking about the debate over health care and how loud that debate has gotten. If you were at one of these town halls, what would you chant?
This is Mitch from Brooklyn. Co-pay. Go away. Co-pay. Go away.
You can chant to us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Disrupt us, won't you? Here's your takeaway.
I think what disturbs a lot of people about the way these protests are conducted is they don't even allow room for debate. It's true obstructionism at this point that we've seen in some of these town hall meetings. And I don't know. I think that crosses the line. And that could easily cause a backlash against the opponents of reform rather than against the reform itself.
Princeton Professor Julian Zelizer, you are...
Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.